Today is my shepherd. We come from Psalms 23, one of the favorite songs in the Word of God, because it expresses so much about our relationship with the Lord. And that is very important, is that we know who we are. Allowing the Lord to shepherd us daily leads to continuous experience of his goodness and loving kindness. Allowing the Lord to shepherd his people will lead us to a continuous experience of his goodness and loving kindness. Following us, which results in our lack of want. Our needs are fulfilled. This intimate relationship with God is a continuous worship that extends even into heaven. It is an extended, continual worship experience. One of the things that we as God's children forget a lot of times, it should be a continual worship experience with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It should be a one-time thing when you got saved. Getting saved started the action, but because you are saved, it should be a continual action of worship. See, because what we don't want to ever forget, no matter how good, no matter how nice God is to us, he's still Lord. He's still Lord. And sometimes we get sassy because we forget that he's Lord. We say he's Savior, he's good to us, he's all these things. And we'll see that in Psalms 23, as David had pictured his intimate relationship with the Lord. He saw it as being a shepherd. And David, being a shepherd himself of his father's sheep, he understood the responsibility of a shepherd for the sheep. And he understood how dumb sheep were. He understood all of that because that was his vocation at one time, tending to sheep. We're living in a world that we're going to have a lot of trouble, a lot of sickness, a lot of all kind of stuff, a lot of rebellion, a lot of frustration, a lot of mental attack, a lot of danger. Now, we shouldn't be surprised by that. That's because when sin entered into the world, all the chaos, it defiled the world, all the chaos took place. Now, all of that stuff is going to be going on until God destroyed it. There's going to be a new heaven, and there's going to be a new earth, and also a new experience. You follow what I'm saying? So right now, the Word of God identifies to us what's going on. But God says, I understand the troubles, but I want you guys to be of good cheer. You know, many places, I think it started out in Deuteronomy with Moses and then with Joshua. And then we see over Hebrews, God says, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. Are you following me? Now, sometimes we get that all confused. Just because he won't leave us and he won't forsake us, that don't mean trouble won't be in the way. See, so many times because we say, God, you say you want to leave me. He's not going to leave you, but it does not exclude trouble from being in your way. Because we're living in a world that's full of trouble. Huh? We live in a world that's heading to destruction. So just because God, why am I going through this? You said you would never leave me or forsake me. Yes, and I didn't. You see, God is saying, in spite of your troubles, in spite of your sickness, in spite of what you're going through, in spite of what you're thinking, how your mind is not regulated right, doesn't matter. If you're born again, I'm with you, and I'm never going to leave you. You got to look to me and look away from your troubles. You see, if we don't really get this, we're going to start blaming God. We're going to be walking away from God. Because everything we want it instantly. God, I pray for healing. I don't get healed. I'm through with God. I pray for finances. I don't get that. I'm through with God. I pray for my education or whatever that I need, God, or I ask you to remove something. You don't do that. I'm just through. What's the use? Well, what you don't understand, the healing of those things is in salvation. The healing of those things is not in our damned state that we are in this Adam state that we are in. There's not a lot of joy in that state. And because God's going to give us new bodies, new homes, and all of this new stuff, that's where your peace is going to be. Now, in the meantime, you and I are to live in hope. You and I got to realize you got to live in hope, and this is not your home. So don't be afraid of all the stuff that goes on in your life, around your life, in your children's life. You do all you can to rescue them in the ark of safety called Jesus. Got to get in. You got to get in. I don't care if you ain't got no money. I don't care if your health is failing you. If you ain't in Jesus, you're in trouble. But those who health can be failing them, finances are not right. If you're in Jesus, you're still okay. You still okay? See, the truth got to be told, because if we don't tell the truth about this thing, people believe if I'm not successful down here, then God ain't doing me no good. Wait a minute. Everything down here going to be burnt up. Going to be done away with. Even when Christ walked this earth, he didn't heal everybody. That wasn't his intention. His intention was to give you eternal healing. Spiritual healing. See, in his mind, his picture, this shepherd of ours, he got a new thing going on in his head. He has a better thing. See, we got better things in Christ, y'all. See, when we fully understand that, we can fully enjoy it even down here. See, we shouldn't be looking at things and events and happenings and problems the same way the world is. See, the world don't have no shepherd. Huh? So they got a lot of wants, cares. But if we look at this thing right, David ain't the only one got no shepherd. Huh? Hey, Jesus told me I'm the good shepherd. I don't know about y'all. Huh? And the good shepherd gave his life for his sheep. Guess who he gave his life from? I'm one of those. Okay? So what I'm saying is, we have to see this world that we're living in from the right perspective if you're a believer. If you are a believer and you are still seeing the world from your carnal expectations, you're going to be messed up. And you're not going to give any allegiance to the Lord because you don't fully understand who got you. You don't fully understand. Watch this. Because when you fully understand who he is and what he wants you to do, then your obedience will get a little bit better. Because you realize who I'm serving. You see, let me tell you something. I'm no different from you guys just because I'm the pastor. I hurt, I get frustrated, crazy stuff go through my mind. Ain't no different. The difference is like, the only difference is, like I got a call on my life that's different. That's totally different. And no matter how I try to weasel myself out of it and tell God a better way to deal with people without a pastor, it don't work. And then if I'm not careful, he'll whip me. It don't work. And God, but God is so smart. And sometimes God will tell you, I know what you're doing, boy. You think you're fooling me. See, you're trying to tell me a better way to do it. How can you, with your pee-wee mind, tell me a better way? All this stuff was done before the foundation of the world. There is no better way. I'm the best, always was, always will be, and still. See, I got it set up the way I want it. And the way I want it, you talk to them, you preach to them. I'm not going to come and stand on the pulpit in all my glory and preach to these people. You going to do it. Oh, you want to come on home with me? No, I don't want to go right now. See, you trying to figure this thing out. You're trying to say, and see, by the way, Rick, I see when you put yourself down, I know what you're doing too. You're trying to say, ain't all that. First of all, you didn't call yourself. I call you. I saved you in your sins so you could do this. You remember when your friends were getting all shot up? Huh? And I made sure I warned you. And you didn't go back to Newport News, so you didn't get shot up. You remember that? You were scared to death. You weren't even saved. And you told him, I am not going back over there. You remember that? Yeah, Lord. Right by the city park, coming back from Newport News, and you shaking in your boot. And he asked, what's wrong with you? I saved you so you could preach. I saved your life physically. And I save your life spiritually, then I call you. Roll back, when you roll back your memories, you see from the guttermost to the uttermost. You see the grace of 30 years? You start a church, you may make 2 months and never get a building. If you start it, you follow what I'm saying? It ain't easy. You got 30, and it's set up for a successor, and you're still preaching. Your mind and your thoughts, Rick's, ain't mine. Mine are higher, greater. I know you try to get polite to slide out. I know. You put yourself down and all that. First of all, ain't about putting yourself down. You didn't put yourself up. You were running when you got the call. At Calvary, when Rick Fall preached, you about to get up and wibble, put that big hand, he was sitting in over there right behind you. They saw you squeamish, in the seat. That hand. Where you going? Going out of here. No, you ain't going out here. You're going to work for Jesus. Not only are you going to go to work for Jesus, we're going to tie you right in. You ain't going nowhere. They're going to call you serious. Your pastor going to call you serious. So everybody's supposed to be serious about the Lord. As I grew, I found out everybody wasn't serious about the Lord. Everybody now ain't serious about the Lord. Am I telling the truth? No, everybody ain't serious about the Lord. That's half of the sermon right there. Amen. I'm just speaking from my heart. So let's go and look at what David was saying here. We see that God is good, and it's so familiar to us. We'll look at a few things here. It says, David said, "The Lord Jehovah Yahweh, all caps, covenant keeping God, is my shepherd." the one who rules over everything, the one that's sovereign, the one self-governs, the one that nobody is over, the one nobody can tell him what to do, the one that can speak things in existence, the one that can raise the dead. Oh, the one that gave his only begotten son, the one that loved us. Woo! That love is so high, you can't measure it. That love is so wide, you can't measure it. That love is so deep, you can't measure it. It's called so love. If you want to know the measurement of it, it's so love. You want to know the name of it, it's so love. I so love the world, that's us, that I gave the only thing that could buy you back unto me. The only thing could free you. See, we need to walk in freedom. We need to call it like it is according to the word of God. He said, he's my shepherd. The one that loved me so much, he gave his son. He's my shepherd. He's the one to look out for me, Danny. He's the one, I don't fully understand his greatness. I talk a little bit about it, that I can talk about it, but I don't fully understand his greatness. It's far above my pay grade. But I know I love him, and I know he loved me. He's my shepherd. You see, I like this. He called him Lord, and he said he's my shepherd. See, you don't take away the lordship of God and just say he's your shepherd. See, a lot of times we won't let him lead us the way we ought to go because we subtract the Lord out of the shepherd. A lot of us, we are our own Lord. We do what we want to do, say what we want to do, do what we want to do. Now, that's maybe okay to do that with people. You follow me? Because the people are not your Lord. Am I right about it, Sheila? Now, it's okay. But when we get confused, we do it with people. We do it all our lives. It's my thing. I do what I want to do. We take that mentality. Well, that's one thing with another person. Because they ain't all that. You and me ain't all that. But you don't call them other people Lord, do you? He said, why call me Lord, Lord? But you won't do what I say. He said, that's a waste of words. That's a waste of you acting like I'm your Lord. Because if I'm your Lord, I want to call the shots. If you really mean I'm your Lord, I may tell you to go somewhere you don't want to go. Tell you to do some things you don't want to do. But if you're really the Lord of your life, it's going to show. Mighty quiet in here. Yeah. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Having an understanding of who's your Lord. Who's your shepherd, Hebrew? Having a true understanding of that, you know what your Lord brings to the table. You know what's housed within his grasp. And if everything is in the Lord of Lords and King of Kings' hand, and nobody can stop him from doing what he wants to, when he wants to, and how long he wants to, if that one is your Lord, you should say, I don't want for nothing. Because there's nothing that's out of his ability to give me because of who he is. His name, y'all. Huh? He said, let me talk about his ability. He's Lord of Lords, King of Kings. He owned it all. Cattle on the thousand hills. The grass, the air, the insect, he owned it all. So when I sum up who he is and whose I am, man, I ain't want for nothing. If you don't give it to her, I probably don't need it no way. A lot of time, our weakness and our non-believing, because we just do that human thing. We say we're saved, but we run our life like there's no Lord over our life. We don't see ourselves to God as a sheep needing to be led. It's nothing like you know what God have laid out for you to do, and you don't want to do it. Walk with me now. Oh, you thought I would say you? No. You don't want to do it, but you know that's what He wants you to do, and that's where your shepherd want to lead you. I still don't want to go. Watch this, and you humble yourself. You say, I gotta go. Yeah. Well, you ain't been with you. I know I've been my own shepherd. And I've been my own shepherd when I was saved. I would say, but I didn't acknowledge Him. So therefore, I didn't let Him lead me. I was my shepherd. I went where I want to go, did what I want to do. Hey. And I'm okay too. Suppose all of us do that. Sometimes I want to do what I want to do. He got a way of getting my attention though, man. And I praise God, it all has been short-lived. Because I never stopped getting challenges, phone calls, new people I'm meeting, and I never stopped getting that. And then it's nobody like the Lord said, okay, you did all you felt that way, you know all that way. Now what you gonna do with that person? Somebody else sent them to you. You met them and said, what you gonna do? I said, Lord, don't do me like that. Don't do me like that. You know what I'm gonna do. See. So God will be patient with you, but watch out. How many know that you know that you know that you're truly born again? Anybody in here? All y'all? Okay. Don't be ashamed of that. Them folk that's not born again, only way to hell, they ain't ashamed of nothing. The world ain't ashamed of nothing. You see what they're doing out there? Killing folk up? The president, boy, say anything out of his mouth. Every time he said, I didn't think he would do that. Stop saying you didn't think the man would do that. What else the man got to do or say? But when you are led by the shepherd, David never goes lacking because God's grace is sufficient to meet the needs of His people. My. God's grace is sufficient to meet our needs. Even now, I got to see that personally. See, because a lot of times there are certain things you are asking God to remove or to do, like Paul. Paul wanted the thorn to be removed. He didn't ask for it to stay there, and God, you work another way. He said, I prayed for the remove of it until Christ told him, my grace is sufficient. Sometimes, as God's people, and you knowing the love of God, how much He loves us, you may not get that thing removed, or you may not receive that thing, but what you always can depend on, that God's grace is sufficient. Are you with me? And I'm going to tell you something. God wants us to grow. My. David said, He's my shepherd. And when I know who my shepherd is, and I know His ability, that's why I'm saying I don't like anything from that standpoint. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You know, a lot of times you get tired. The toils of life will get you tired. Huh? You exert yourself and you're under a load of care in this life. And if you're not careful, you be restless. You get restless, you make mistakes, you do crazy stuff, you do things without the counsel of God, you just do it because you feel that will bring relief. But sometime, God got to lay you down, let you rest. He got to do this. He got to just pull you to side and let you get a little rest. Because sometimes when you are restless, you'll do a lot of reckless things that will hurt your life, mess up your testimony. And one of the things with the Christians, we don't care nothing about our testimony. You're in bad shape. You're in bad shape. Care nothing about, I say I'm a Christian and I do anything. I do anything, don't care. But don't say I'm not a Christian. Wait a minute. When you say you're a Christian, you should have a testimony. See, because you're saying Christian is Christ-like. Christ said we're the light of the world. We're not in darkness. We're not of darkness. We're born again. We're the light. So God said, let your light shine. Now, I like this because God says, yeah, you truly can be a Christian. That's why I say, let your light shine. You see, you can be a Christian and your light still be cut off. God said, cut it on. Cut it on. So when people ask you why I don't do this and why I choose not to do this, well, it'd make it hard if I do this and do this and I get this reputation. It's kind of hard for my light to shine. Huh? Because if I'm interested in drawing people out of darkness, I got to keep shining. If I'm going to talk to those who are unsaved or those on the borderline, they want to look at me and say, man, wow, man, you real dark. You're so dark unspiritually that it frightens me and I'm unsaved. You're talking about the Lord? See, even unsaved understand that. I should be talking, you do worse stuff than I do. And you telling me about come to Jesus? Matter of fact, I ain't never seen your light shine. This what I mean, your light shine. Like I said, I worked in a machine shop where basically everybody in there was white on the base. And there was a few black in the different shops over. But in my particular shop, most of them, and I think one or two of us in there. But anyway, and they all knew I was a Christian and I was a preacher during that time and looking to start a church. I think we had just started or whatever. But the whole time, and those guys in there and the whole big gathering, a lot of times they try to break you down and stuff like that, you know. And they're watching you the whole time. I remember going to get my tools out and things. There was another preacher worked in the machine shop to give you all of my equipment so I could go to work. And the girls worked in there too. And he in there hitting on the girls and everything and told me he got two church, I'm a big time this and that. And see, the unsaved people will mess with you too. They saw me coming up there, you know, I'm a Christian. And so they try to put me against him. Say, hey, preacher, is that right with this guy in here? I'm trying to get him out of here. He in here being fresh. I'm trying to get my tools and get away from there. He looked, well, I got big churches. I got this and who's that? I don't even know him. You say, he's a preacher around here. I'm still giving him a two trying to get out. But the world will try to put you against each other. See, first of all, they already know that's wrong. He's married. He hitting on them, talking about his church. They tell him, to come over. He got one in Alcalan. He got one in Newport News. I mean, it just don't care. You know, that ain't no light shining. I'm getting my mess and get out of here. Because I got to go to work, I'm on the clock. So I'm telling you, just because you say you're a Christian, you don't have to let your light shine. And let me tell you, it causes you to let it shine. Folk don't want to hang with you. Folk don't invite you places. And a lot of times you feel, oh, I don't want to live this shelter life. It's not a shelter life. It's just a clean life. Know who your shelter. Know who he is. Man, I tell you, God challenges me a lot. I can't tell y'all half how I get challenged. Ooh, but he's my helper. Let me move on. Y'all still with me? He making me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. We know sheep couldn't deal with that rushing water. They were afraid of it. So he got them quiet waters, still waters, where they can drink. Sometimes there are some things in our life that's rushing against us, and we don't. And by the way, let me say this. My job as a preacher, so when you come here, my job is to stir you up. So the things I talk about from the Word of God, the things I try to preach to you, that's what I'm supposed to do. Let's get that straight. Are you with me? Whether you accept it or not, that's your business. It's not my job for whether you accept it or not. My job is to teach it. You follow what I'm saying? Okay. Now, whether you decide to obey it, that's your business. He says, he leads me beside the still waters. So we see that not only is he our shepherd, but he's our healer. He restores my soul. Sometimes there's some things broken in us. Sometimes there's some things we need restored. Anybody been there? Huh? But I like this. I like this, my brothers and sisters. I got a good shepherd. He knows sometimes life, I have a few breaks. You get broke. Huh? Am I right about it? As we are getting old, we're going through life, you don't always do right. Huh? Nobody. No. I said for you. None of y'all. And I ain't guessing I'm right about this neither. I know I'm right. Okay. Am I right? I don't see nobody sit here saying, since I've been saved. Come on, stop lying. Stop lying. That's just my scenario. Woo! I got to help myself. Oh, Lord. I'm going to stop messing with y'all now because I don't forget. Got my point. Huh? Yeah, he's our restorer. Yeah, okay, I know. Getting broke when I was going down the broken trail. Okay. But isn't it good to know that our shepherd, who's the Lord, who's the sovereign one, self-governed one, he can fix you. He can restore you. See, we is placing me back to where I was. Huh? So that means something happened that you had to restore me. Are you following me? So, how can you go on when you was broken yesterday? I saw you yesterday. Well, the way you're talking, you saw me be broken. But the way you were talking and hitting me, you wanted me to stay broken, stay bruised and battered. For what you see today, yes, you saw me in my brokenness, but now you see me in being restored. Well, what you need to ask me, how did it happen? I got a shepherd who restores me. Too many people say you're saved and you're broken and all kinds of Satan and everybody else have crippled you. But I want you to know that ain't all you got. You got a shepherd. When you are broken, he'll restore you. You better know who he is. You better know his reputation and what he can do for you, and what he will do for you. No imp in hell can stop him. But you got to know his ability. You got to welcome being his sheep, and he's your shepherd. You got to talk about him sometime. Hey, yeah, yesterday I was broken, but today I'm restored. Please ask me how it happened. because I want to testify. I want to give some glory, Sister Warren. I want to talk about Jesus. I want to tell you about the man from Galilee. Huh? Oh, my God. My shepherd. Who's your shepherd? You look like you lost your last friend. Do you have a friend in Jesus? Let me get on through this thing. Get on out your way. Yes, sir. Man, he's my shepherd. He's my healer. He restored me. He revives me. He refreshing my spirit. Oh, man. David went through all kind of stuff, all kind of brokenness, all kind of sin, but he still could say he restored me. He knew what it meant to be broken, huh? He knew what it meant to betray God and sin against God, huh? The prophet had to come and tell him, huh? And suffer the consequences, losing the baby, huh? Sons turning against him. Talk to me now. He knew about the hurt. Acting like a madman in the caves, and Saul attacking him. But I got a shepherd. See, as a Christian, things can happen. You can get broken. But don't leave it there. Go to the pages and say, I got a shepherd. Know the frailness of my life. See, he's the potter, and I'm the clay. Every now and then, we get marred in this life, scarred. But he made me over. He made me over because I'm in his hands. See, a lot of times we don't take advantage of our benefits because we don't know him, we don't know whose we are, and we don't know how good he is. Now, this is going to be a hard one because this just hit me now. Now, y'all talk to the Holy Spirit. So let me go back over here. Give me a hug. Now, you got to get real spiritual to catch what I'm about to say now. Sometime, if God let you linger in your brokenness, sometime it is for your good. See, God has a plan, he has a purpose, and we are his people. Sometimes, just because Susie Q got out quick, fast, in a hurry, her restoration, and yours lingered a little while longer, just say, he hasn't forgotten me, because he said he'll never leave me or forsake me. It just takes him a little longer to work on me. Tell your neighbor, he'll never leave me nor forsake me. He's just still working on me. And while he's working on me, I'm worshiping him. Hey, I'm worshiping him. I'm walking with him. I'm waiting on my change. See, God got to have some people in the waiting room. And being and waiting to see the doctor. And sometimes your brokenness or your hurt is not as bad as you think it is. But sometimes God just may be chastening you, disciplining you, training you. And God is saying, hey, I can't leave you. I can't forget you. And you got my stamp on you, the Holy Ghost. You sealed to the day of redemption. But I need to leave you there a little while longer. Because I notice when I leave you there, you come to church more. Huh? You worship God more. You understand that I'm Lord more. and you're glorifying my name just because you don't get yours quick, fast, and hurry. Don't let no devil lie to you. God don't love you this and that. You better grow to know him. Get a little closer. Because we're all soon going home anyway. You might as well get closer here. I'm going to get mine for telling you. God, I told him. I'm going to throw him at your feet. Don't. Well, you know, God, Pastor Riggs, he ain't tell us nothing. I'm going to say, you're telling a lie. Because God was right there. I only had to say it. God is here anyway. What did I tell you? What did I preach about last week? Anybody was here last week? What did I preach about? Thank you. Thank you, sister. I took my time with it too, didn't I? Okay, all right. I'm talking about the shepherd today. Okay. Come on, Rick. Stay right here, man. Stay in the middle. Okay, he's my shepherd. I tell you, I got to restore him. And let me get back here. Yeah, sir. He said he leads me beside the still water, restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness. Here it is now. If you walking in the path of sin and doing your thing, your shepherd ain't leading you to do that. That's not the path he leading you. He leading you in righteousness. So here's a little thing. You know you're doing it, you've grown, you're big enough, you're bad enough, do your thing. But you say, don't let your thing just lead you like the thing is your shepherd. The thing is it's your shepherd. Lead you. You got to tell your thing, whatever that is, you ain't going to keep leading me like that. I already know you ain't leading me in the path of righteousness. I know that. I ain't never said it was a path of righteousness. I just like the way you lead me. I'm saved too, because if I die, I'm going to heaven. I'm saying, tell your thing, you ain't my master nor my Lord. And the only place you want to lead me into is damnation. You want me to dishonor God. That's how you lead me. But there's a path of righteousness. So why? So when you really know the Lord, even though your thing is leading you, and the Holy Ghost, you still say, every now and then say, not today. Hey, thing, I may slip every now and then, but you ain't going to just keep leading me because I know I'm saved. Today, I'm going to let the shepherd lead me into righteousness. Give him one day. Don't let your thing have set 7 of the days. Pastor, I'm trying. God, I'm trying. And I'm not going nowhere, God. I've been doing this for a minute. Been preaching close to 40 years. See, I was preaching before I was a pastor. We don't 30 years just for the pastor. I was preaching before then. Associate at my church. Pastor turned over all the baptism to me and started a ministry out at the Pines. Started another ministry out at Bojing, the place they had out there. They let's use the building. And I used to teach all of the new converts and had a nice class out there that they let us use the building. So I haven't just started doing this. No, I'm just giving you history. But you've been knowing me over 20 years. Okay, 25? Good. I don't know, I'm not keeping up with them how long. Okay, that's good then. Well, praise the Lord. I hope in 25 years I taught something. One thing. Or I did let my light shine some kind of way. I ain't perfect. Don't you go out and tell nobody Pastor Rick's perfect. I tell you I'm not. But I will tell you I love the Lord. I love the Lord. And it ain't predicated on whether y'all love the Lord. I was loving the Lord before I met you. And some of y'all were loving the Lord before you met me. Ain't that right? That worked both ways. Okay. Let me get back. All right, what verse am I on now? Y'all keeping up with me. Huh? Okay, all right. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You know, and here they believe he was describing those valleys where people would rob them, the valley of the hills, and hide in the cleft of the rock and all those kind of places. But as we walk in this on this journey, sometimes we are walking in the shadow of death, and death all around us. You know, folk going into churches, killing up people, and crazy people still, they just want to get on TV, say, yeah, I'm going to kill somebody, and Lord, come get them, lock them up. But we don't know when death is going to come. Death has an appointment, and that appointment will be kept. But I will feel no evil. Now, why aren't you feeling evil? Because evil is evil, but I'm not so over alarmed with it that it got me shaking in my boots, and therefore I can't do the things God would have me to do because I'm so worried about death. He said, I will feel no evil. He said, for you are with me. The person that keep us from fearing evil to a point that we are exhausted and we cannot do the things God would have us to do because we're so afraid is that we know that God is with us. You know, when God is with us, who can be against us? And we have to realize that. But like I say, God being with us, don't X out danger. All right, let's get this thing right. Don't mean you're not going to face danger and like that. But you got to realize that God is with you. And one of the things with God, because he's all powerful, everything that concerns us has to be sifted through God. It really do. Okay. But God don't want you to be stupid or nothing like that, but it's still sifted through God. I will feel no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That power that you have in your hands to do whatever it is that's necessary, they comfort me. It is your power, your capabilities toward warding off danger or handling my situation. You are with me. You got an ability to handle whatever comes against you. Huh? There's no power that can come against God that can defeat him. You follow what I'm saying? So when you really look at God versus anything, there's no match. See, a lot of people don't understand the dynamics of Satan and God. Because a lot of people say, well, Satan is powerful with his evil, just as powerful with his evil as God is with his good. No. God put foot in Satan and kicked him out of heaven, Lucifer. You know, if that's what he wanted. He wanted heaven. You see, and yet God is permitting him to do his thing for God's own will. Now, I don't know all the particulars of God's will, but we know that God is doing things according to his will. But we also know if you want to go to Revelation, the back of the book, you can see Satan's end. You think he's a bad character, you go over Revelation and see him being kicked in the lake of fire. Huh? God tie him up for a while, then bring him back and use him for a while, then put him back in there. See, God doing him like a yo-yo. You ain't all that powerful when your enemy doing you like a yo-yo. He used you for his purpose. So when Satan get to you, you say, Satan get to me. Say, Satan, I'm going to go look at your end. Look at the back of the book. I said, wait a minute, you ain't all of that. You ain't all of that. Also, when I look in Matthew, after God, Christ had fasted for 40 days, and that temptation, he's coming and trying to tempt God. And for our reading and for our knowledge, Christ let the scenario go on for a while. He let that situation go on for a while, you know, and Satan tried to twist scripture and all that, and Christ would come back and give him the word of God until he got tired of him and said, look, be gone. You got to get out of here. Now, if you're that bad, you don't tell me to go nowhere. I knocked you out, Jesus. He left. See, when I see the places you, Satan, you humbling yourself, I'm seeing who the bad one is. See, when it comes to casting demons out, Christ show up, hey, it ain't time for us to go. We know who you are. Give us permission to go in the swine. Wait a minute. If you that bad, why are you asking for permission? You say, I'd rather go in the slime than be put in the pit. Well, why? I'm still confused. If you're that bad and you don't want to go in the pit, why are you afraid of the pit when you're that bad? Can't nobody put you in there because I'm thinking the devil is the big one. You're afraid of Christ. It ain't time to throw me in. I know I'm going, but it got some more minutes on the clock. This ain't the fourth quarter. Y'all ain't with me yet. Y'all ain't with me. Huh? The fat lady ain't sung yet. Wait a minute. You know your end? You know your time? And when you talk to him, you don't talk to him like you talk to the people you possess. Oh, the strong one is my shepherd. And I didn't say it. The demon said it. Satan said it. They declared, my enemy declared for me who they're afraid of. The big bad bully in the neighborhood, I want to know who he afraid of. So when that person walk around, the one that thought the big bad bully, he moved. Because when that one walk around, they know he known for shooting you. Ain't nobody that be on. No, he ain't acting crazy, he is crazy. Do you follow what I'm saying? Oh, you serve the strong one. Ain't no match. How? God created Lucifer. He became Satan. Oh, no, wait, let me move on. I hope I'm giving somebody some hope. Anybody, you still with me? So let's move it on down and finish this on up. See, I would fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and staff. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Oh, man. You anointed my head with oil. My cup runneth over. He said, all of this that you are doing for me. He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, forever and forever. He's my companion. He's my provider in 5, and he is my protector. So when I look at, so why are you serving God? I serve God because did you know, girl, that he is my protector, my provider? He's my companion. He's my shepherd. He's my